Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Hotline Miami. It's a great game. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, and it doesn't really matter because you're just some guy who like wakes up and gets weird messages on his answering machine, and then you go to weird places and you hit people with baseball bats and shoot people with a pig mask on
for really no reason, right?
No reason at all. No reason.
It's very willing to have that acid trip sort of.
Yeah, like personally, just speaking from experience, I've never like taken a bunch of crystal meth and shot a room full of people with a gun, but if I had, I feel like this would really be a good semblance of the experience. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course saved in colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dogs. Welcome to the We Hate Symphony of the Night.
That's right. For this episode of We Hate Symphony of the Night, we're going to be talking about Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It was it was nominated by F2BNP on the slush pile, who said, "No comments really, but you guys rock."
Woo!
Thank you, F2BNP. I want to make sure I have that woo for my remix album. Make sure we get a clean sample of that.
Woo!
Yeah, I like that a lot. Woo. That was really good. This game was developed by Konami Computer Entertainment Tokyo and published by Konami for the PlayStation. Earliest release date and territory is March 20th, 1997 in Japan. Who's with me to talk about this terrible, terrible excuse for a game?
I'm Bob Nader, and for once I agree with every terrible thing Xerxes is saying.
I actually don't mind this game. It's fine. Symphony of the Night.
Clayed, and here we go again.
So this travesty. Is the Saturn the first one?
No, it was out on the Saturn as well, wasn't it?
On the Saturn, but it's a.
We don't need to mention
updated
that,
port. It's got an extra level and terrible frame rate. There you go.
And it's got another character you can play as, which nobody should.
Oh, is that like the Maria character or whatever?
Yeah, but like really, like the version to play is the one you can get on the PSP, which doesn't work because there isn't a single working PSP in existence anymore.
I have one in the weird basement / underground area that I have.
Good news! I get to go destroy another PSP. My long crusade.
Build quality, top notch.
I actually played this. You know what version I played? I played the Xbox 360 port.
Is that about the same as the one they put on the PSP for the Dracula X Chronicles?
I don't know. It's a really lazy ass port. Really lazy. It defaults to 16:9. That's how lazy it is.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the PSP version is still the best, which is funny because it's like an extra in the game. You got to unlock it and everything. But okay. So Castlevania Symphony of the Night
is a the first Metroidvania, because it's the first game that was like Metroid but was actually Castlevania.
Oh, we are off to a rolling start.
Yeah, well, I have to pay Jeremy Parrish royalties for that. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's like, it's, I want to be careful about this one, because we could talk about it for 3 hours. Because everybody loves this game, right? Like, I know I was joking about how bad it is, because it's
Bob
terrible.
Bob's not joking. I'm going to call him out right now. Bob doesn't like this game.
Yeah, well, I don't hate it, but I want to get into my issues with it. When
shun
can I do that?
Non-believer.
We'll do that after we talk about like what makes it kind of unique and special. It's really, I don't want to insult your intelligence, dear listener, because everybody has played this game. I feel like it's one of the modern classics. In fact, it's probably up there with, like, not in terms of quality, mind you, but in terms of like everybody in their dog has played it. It's like, it's up there with Super Metroid, I think. It's everybody plays this game.
I think I'd be willing to say more people may have played this one, only because the PlayStation was kind of, more people ended up playing the PlayStation, and this game kind of got more drive from that. Not sure now, I guess, since I think Super Metroid is more available, but there was definitely a dip in time where more people would have played this one, for sure, than Super Metroid. Which I think possibly is why we ended up with the name Metroidvania, as opposed to, like, just Metroid game type of thing.
This is one of the first games I ever played completely legitimately on my Windows.
On your Windows?
On my Windows. Completely legitimately.
You got one of those fancy, like, Google Glass windows?
Did you delete it in, like, 24 hours?
So it's
fine. It's totally on the level.
Yeah, it's, so it's kind of, like, I guess the main takeaways, like, we were supposed to come up with these before we started recording, but we didn't. So,
Oh, we just rush right into these recordings. We don't even know what game we're with.
We don't know what we're doing.
Any of the night.
But because I've never played everything. Yeah. You know every game intimately.
That's true.
Even the games you've never heard of.
Actually, Spiria? We've definitely heard of those. That's why we're Spiria. So good at them. But no, like, so Symphony of the Night, why don't you mention at least what
it's a Castlevania game, but it's a Castlevania game where you don't play a Belmont. You don't have a whip. You are Alucard, who is Dracula's son, and your name is Dracula spelled backwards, which, believe it or not, it sounds stupid enough that you think Konami must have done that. But no! I believe the movie Son of Dracula, or something like that, had the character Alucard introduced in that.
You can, there's a scene where he has, like, on the case or whatever, and he's looking at it, and the case spells out Alucard, and he, like, looks at it, like, upside down. He's like, Dracula.
What the hell is red wrong?
So Alucard is super emo, super hot, and he's half vampire. And he is here to rid the world of this monster. Yeah, Dracula, his dad. So it's really, what's cool about this game is it's a direct sequel to Rondo of Blood, or Dracula X, if you weren't a part of the, you know, PC Engine master race.
Dracula X is a pretty cool name, though.
It is a terrible, terrible name.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my
side. I kind of like Vampire's Kiss.
Why isn't Dracula X set in space, like Jason X, you know?
I don't know.
No, that's
exactly why that's stupid. It should be in space.
I do love the intro. It's so cool. Although I know the voice acting is dubious, but I love that the game actually is basically the end of the previous game, and it just totally rolls with it, and you just, like...
Yeah, it even has, like, the thing where you can, like, you know, get the there's, like, the cheat room, right? There's the thing you can get the secret staircase and go up and get special weapons, even though they've totally chumped out the boss fight. You know, which is only fair. Like, you don't want the final boss of a game to be the first thing you do in another game. It's
not
fair.
I played this, like, way before any of, like, most of the other ones, so that was very confusing to me. Like, I'm like, what the... Why am I fighting? Like, what the hell is going on? Like, how am I supposed to beat this guy? It's like...
Yeah, I played it before I even knew Rondo of Blood was a thing.
Mm.
I had played Dracula X, so, that's what I was, you know, I mean, and, you know, it has the same character as Dracula X, and it looks kind of like Dracula X. And
also, it's really cool that you had, like, the full playable character from that game just kind of just there, and then suddenly you get this heel twist to actually your Alucard. Like, that wouldn't have been a surprise, because you probably owned the case of the game where you clearly played as Alucard, but...
Right, yeah. Well, cool, I mean, it's cool. And then it's got, like, the opening area, so when that happens, and then Richter disappears... Richter Belmont, who's the guy from the family of Belmonts of who kill Draculas.
Dracula really hates the Belmonts, because apparently every time he shows up anywhere, they're like, get him! Like,
well, his problem is he keeps showing up in the same damn castle. If one time he was like, I think I'm going to show up in, like, you know, Cape Town, South Africa.
Like, Belmont, Dracula's Beach House. Didn't see that one coming. He's
just... Weekend at Dracula's.
Dracula's going to go outside and get himself some sun. We won, well, guys.
Do we count Arya of... What was the GBA one where he goes to the Arya moon? Do we count that as him doing something new?
I'm sorry, he goes to the what?
Dracula goes to a lot of places.
Oh, no, no, it's not... That's not quite what he... He doesn't live on the moon.
But he should.
If he lived on the moon, the Belmonts couldn't stop him.
Exactly. How are they going to get to the moon? They can't. He can just Dracula the hell up. Like, just everything on the moon. Just be like, bruh, I'm Dracula.
So is there a bomb hack?
To a Battlefront or whatever you didn't expect to see coming? Battle Vietnam? Mm-hmm. What?
Is there a bomb hack?
I can't remember the name. Battlezone. There we go. It's a sequel to Battlezone.
Of this game where you get to play as Dracula, Alucard from Captain N.
Oh, Simon Belmont, the vain Simon Belmont from Captain N, where he's like, me.
No, I want the Alucard though, where he's on the skateboard all the time with the boombox.
I forgot that. I didn't remember that. And I remember the episode with anthropomorphic Tetris pieces. So I thought I remembered everything. It is pretty crazy. Yeah, I guess that's the one you probably don't forget,
right?
So the cool thing is this one also immediately it mixes in PlayStation stuff. Like when you beat Dracula in the start of the game, it's suddenly like the game kind of like the screen kind of rips up and then like 3D stuff starts happening and it's like, oh, cool. And yeah, the game does this a lot, which is one of the things that I think, because we know what a Metroidvania logic is. We might cover it in a little bit, but you know, right, this game actually injects like a lot of little 3D touches and things, which I really think is cool. Like there's a lot of, this game actually does push the PlayStation kind of, like not super hard, but well, it's actually a pretty cool game, even if you like separate it from,
with all those recycled PC Engine sprites, you bet.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't the PlayStation supposed to be kind of bad at 2D?
It's pretty bad at 2D.
Well, it depends
on how you use it, I'd say.
It's mostly because it's got, like, no RAM for storing stuff, so...
The PlayStation is kind of, like, bad at everything except for having CD media.
That's the main thing it does.
Like,
that's,
it's
like,
not
that's
a
the
great...
secret. It's always bad.
It's always bad. It's just, like, uniformly bad. Whereas, like, the Nintendo 64 was actually... like pretty good. It's just that they used cartridges and you can't do anything with
them. Because cartridges like, let you do everything except things that require lots of space, and everyone wanted to use lots of space in the PlayStation-ish era, like that whole generation. It was like,
well, that was the main thing you could do. Like it was just, yeah, you can't make the games look that much better, but you can like make them that much longer. And you can't have like CD audio and stuff. I mean, that's the main appeal of the PlayStation is that it could do like
games audio was amazing. Am I wrong? Or
the music
like,
is really good.
It's one of the two video game soundtracks I've ever bought.
I mean,
I thought the music was pretty good, but it seemed kind of mixed out, and I couldn't tell if that was like the 360 port just screwing me over because I didn't
probably because it sounded really good to me.
Yeah, I just wanted to double check that. Good.
It's like the only version of this game.
You hear it for the first like the first stage is like the.
Oh man, can we talk about the intro with Alucard and he's running through the forest and
that is
onto
the best
drawbridge
ever. So
best
that
game
is super cool.
It's the thing I was gonna compare to in the Mega Man X episode that we totally haven't recorded yet because it's coming out next week. But
oh god, it's all whiny timey.
Yeah, that has like a intro stage, and we were talking about how this is the first Mega Man game with an intro stage. I mean, we will be talking about that.
It will be correct.
Hasn't happened yet, but it will definitely be talked about. And so, like, this game does that even better because it's got the thing where you're all powered up. You've got all your Dracula powers and your Alucard, and you come in and just kicking ass. It's like, werewolf, wah! Giant wolf, wah! Zombie, zombie, zombie! I've got all my powers! And then death takes them away from you. You meet the Grim Reaper, and you lose to him in Battleship.
That's not canon. They beat him at everything.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
Twister, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, nobody can defeat Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted 3 coming 2020.
Does it have to be chess? Well, no, I guess not. It's like, it's like Twister.
I really like Genius. That movie so much. You have no idea how much I love that movie.
That's the best movie scene of all time, really.
That's such good. Also, weirdly enough, that's kind of the level of dialogue you'll get in this game. like, unintentionally, it's pretty janky. Even the recording quality is not great when anyone talks.
So it's kind of famous for having a lot of, well, but what we have definitely recorded and released
audio.
Yeah.
I think this game has pretty average voice acting for the time. I don't think it stands out that much.
At least they seem to be talking at a, like, consistent, like, speed. So it's not like, you know, it is pretty bad. It is like, die, monster! You don't belong in this world. You know, What is a man? But it could be, if it were like, for example, a game that we have already ranked and discussed, if it were like, blam, Machine Head, it would be, die, monster! You don't belong in this world.
I'm so glad they've now listened to that episode so they can be reminded. Yeah, so they
did that, but it's like everybody talks super slow, and that was the norm for a lot of...
But what's really baffling about it is Metal Gear Solid is next year. Well, by the same people.
That's why it's so, well, kind of the same people. Well,
I mean, that one actually cared about the audio. Could you imagine Metal Gear Solid if it had the quality of audio from this?
Snake! Oh, loading in the middle of battle!
That'd be appalling.
Can I get that? Can we hire the guys?
We gotta do that. Yeah, we gotta do it.
I'm sorry anyone that wants to know what Castlevania Symphony of the Night is, but we're probably not gonna cover that.
We can't do it. It's like the game is, okay, so basically it's like, let's take Castlevania and throw it in the garbage, and we'll do Super Metroid instead. And the cool thing, the secret sauce, I think, to this game is that it's Super Metroid, but with RPG elements. It really doesn't add Castlevania elements to it at all. It just uses Castlevania as a setting. That's it. Everything else about Castlevania is gone.
That's pretty much what I was going to say.
Except, like, really, like, a negative sort of... If you like Castlevania, there's only, like, a 50-50 chance you'll like this specific
game. I don't think that's true. I think everybody who liked Castlevania liked this game.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's weird that, like, they've totally changed almost everything about it, but everyone who likes Castlevania was like, give it to me. Good.
It's like, you can jump, and it makes sense, and you can change directions
really
after you jump.
I actually
really
like the way Alucard jumps in this. He's got this, like, he just has this slightly floatiness to all of his movements that make him feel just different enough from, like, a regular...
he feels, like, inhuman, just slightly
inhuman.
Yeah,
I thought it was so cool, like, they captured this, like, actual, like, just it's slightly different to your average human character. The way he, like, sort of gracefully moves and floats a tiny bit with his steps.
Yeah, there's just, like, a little bit of a weird trail to him, especially when he's got all his gear on, all the Alucard gear.
Yeah, like, and, it actually captures this, like, I really appreciate how well it captures this feeling of not being, like, a regular human character in the Castlevania world. That's leaving aside the fact that you now have, like, magic powers and stuff, which are
what's
also
weird is, like, when you start walking, right, you start from standing still and you just move forward, and it's like you, like float for a second. Not, like, float in the, like, air, but, like, you just glide across the surface of the floor, whatever it is, and then you start walking.
It's cool, because it's like he doesn't have to, like, he can basically float, and he's like, ugh, like... Like, walking to him is not even an effort because he's just, like, exuding so much, like, and vampire power.
If you know the commands, if you know the inputs, you can do all the Dracula stuff. You can do the three fireballs and the teleport. And
the three fireballs is totally useless in, like, every situation.
Mind me, can you do that from the start, or do you have to get it?
I think you can, yeah.
You can do it
all the yeah.
All the Dracula stuff you can do.
The Dracula stuff.
I know this because I accidentally triggered a bunch of them by accident, and then it just adds them to your spell list. It just
exactly.
Yeah, because the librarian just tells you the commands.
Isn't the teleport then triple fireball? Isn't it like a Hadouken or something like that?
Like, most of them are like elaborate, like full circles and half circles and like that kind of thing.
They're like SNK supers.
Yeah, they're pretty tricky to input. It's actually one of my only like.
It's tricky to input because you were doing it on a PlayStation controller, which has the worst D-pad ever designed.
I was doing it on a 360 stick, which is also bad. Thank you.
thank you.
Thank you. I probably had a lot worse.
I did it on keyboard.
On, like, your arrow keys,
The first time I played this game, I did not do any spells because you're staring at a keyboard and you're trying to figure out how to hit down forward. On a keyboard.
Even, like, the optimal control scheme for it, it doesn't pull very well. They're inconsistent, which isn't good if you're trying to use them, like, on a dime. The best one you can trigger is Metamorphosis, because it's just kind of, you know, go backwards and forwards a bunch with, like, the stick and then press the button and hope it triggers. And
it's so, so very useful, too. If you're next to an enemy who happens to have blood, you can... bite them or something.
You hit them with your regular attack, but instead you get health back, which is great.
You touch the blood spray, you get health back because you're a vampire.
I want to note, most games don't take into account. I mean, every other game in the whole wide world, you can, like, skin skeletons, so...
Well,
you know,
yeah,
kudos to some of the
little details in the game. It cares about quite a
few.
It's
mostly the details. Like, that's the thing is, if this were a Metroid game, I feel like people would hate it because it does everything wrong. And that's kind of its genius is like I said, it's basically a Metroid game, but an RPG. So like all the stuff Metroid games don't really have that many power ups. They're mostly about like collecting, you know, missiles and stuff and it's about, like, you know, mastering techniques, and then you get, like, you know, you get the super missile, and now you can open the green doors and stuff like that. But it's really a much more, like, you know, much more of a game about, like, just surviving and moving your way through the environment.
You don't really, like, min-max in them, whereas in this game, it really encourages you to just mess around with,
right,
like, an entire
system. All the Final Fantasy-esque nonsense you can do.
Yeah.
Is there everything? It's got way overpowered spells. It's got remember the shield rod? The shield rod is a stick that allows all of your shields to have special powers. One of which just instantly like kills everything it touches, and you can just leave it out, and it keeps killing them. You can beat the game in like you can beat the final battle with Dracula, trademark, actually public domain. In 20 seconds.
It's disgusting.
With the shield rod. It's got crazy stuff. It's got familiars, which is totally new and would kill Metroid if you put it in Metroid. It just would ruin it.
Oh, that's
imagine if you could just have a Metroid that followed you around and ate everybody.
Well, the last
you know, that's, I guess that's the thing. Like, this is more of an exercise in excess, which kind of makes sense. It's themed around a vampire.
Yeah. And most famously, like, I think that if you really want to get a good podcast talking about this, listen to the Retronauts episode. They cover everything. But we're just going to talk about what makes it kind of the most notable things.
Okay.
The Upside Down Castle, I think, is the last thing I want to mention. And the plot with the Dark Priest Shaft. I hear that Dark Priest Shaft is one bad mother...
Hey, watch your mouth.
I'm only talking about the Dark Priest Shaft.
Well, we can dig it.
Oh my god, that was perfect!
Oh, so over, guys!
We did not rehearse that. That was not...
I'm proud of that. I'm
proud of that. I'm proud of both of you. Cal, I'm disappointed in you. But
you should be... No, I did not interrupt. You should be very proud of me. I'm like, I'm gonna let this just go. I'm not gonna...
I'm talking about the level design. It is so cool compared to other Metroidvanias, and literally I've never had any other game do this quite as right. You can go to the ending of this game... Fairly, it's like Super Metroid, you kind of like see, or even the original Metroid, you can kind of find like, oh, hey, this over here is supposed to be the final area. But in this game, it takes a while to walk all the way to the famous Dracula staircase. And then when you get there, you realize that's all broken up and I can't do anything about that. And you've probably gone a lot of way to the castle, and then you realize there's a lot of ways of this other castle I have to go. But the really, really cool part I love about this game is every time you play it, you really do end up taking a slightly different path through the castle, and like all the orders of the rooms and all the order of the items you kind of pick up. And I just can't tell you how much I want games to do that, and they never do it quite right. I love it so much.
So my issue with one thing is... I know Metroidvanias are all about backtracking, that's how they work, but it feels like it takes so long to get anywhere after a point that it just gets tedious and frustrating more than anything.
Well, I mean, it has teleport rooms, it's got,
that helps.
Like... And because... the other thing is, unlike Metroid, like, there's something to get from the enemies as you move through the castle, other than just health and missiles and stuff. Like, that's kind of, I don't want to say a weakness, but that's kind of what makes Metroid something where it's got to be a tighter experience, because there will be some backtracking and you've got to make it interesting to the player. You've got to make it feel like, oh, there's a reason for me going back through this area. I'll notice something new that I didn't see before. I can get that. I can get that energy tank. I can get the missile upgrade or something. Whereas with this game, you don't have like the upgrade stuff as much. It's more like, oh, that enemy dropped that thing. That's cool. I've got, you know, this worthless weapon that I'm never, ever going to use for anything, but I've got it. And that's what's fun. Is there's so many weapons in this game, and they're all, like, you know, they're different. They've all got
consider this
cool one, flavor like, text in the menu thing when you look them up, and yeah.
It's got several Tolkien references.
I can't remember one of them.
It's got the One Ring. Okay. It even calls it the One Ring. It's got Glamdrig in it, too.
What I wanted to say is, sword. Like... This one very much to me is, it's related to all this, it's almost like a challenge yourself kind of game. Like, you can make the game pretty easy by using your power brain to figure things out or by rolling certain things. Or you can be like, you know what? It's not a particularly long game. I'm going to play it more with this weapon or this set of things. Like, it actually kind of wants you to just take the game how you want to play it in a pretty cool way that's fairly forward thinking. Like, most games were pretty brutal about playing them in a specific way. And I think one of the things that landed strongly with Symphony of the Night was how liberating the actual, like, overall game was. Like, you could try and do something.
The freedom of it, yeah. The idea of, like, oh, like, it doesn't really, like, yeah, there's a jillion weapons, but you don't really, there's very few items that you absolutely have to, you know, there's, it's very clear in the game which items are the items that open up new areas of the castle.
This is just me here, but I don't really like big RPG elements in my action games. I don't think they always mesh well, and I think this game is a big example of it.
How so?
I feel like the stats and the leveling and the items make it so the game is less about getting good at it and knowing what to do, and just more about getting your numbers high enough that you can just kind of eventually mash through a problem spot and just keep muddling along.
But I think, like, most of the stuff the game throws at you in a similar way to Dark Souls and that kind of thing, if you know what you're doing, if you have an idea of how to do it, you can get through it with pretty much nothing. Like, you can play a very lean game. And if you don't want to or decline to solve the bosses and the encounters and things in a way that lets you kind of get through them without doing anything except, you know, going through with the exact loadout that you need, then you have that option to grind up. I never felt this one was, like, super grindy, especially if you just go through the game and, you know, you traverse the areas, you smack the enemies along the way. I never really felt that you needed to stop and grind up in order to, you know, just pass a arbitrary level check to get through it.
Only the last, like, the end boss of the first half of the castle is really hard.
I guess I just don't know what the RPG elements really add.
Like, I think it's definitely cool, especially if you're playing, like, I think it scales up your feeling that you're, like, getting stronger again, because obviously start of the game, you got your full powers, you get them kick the crap out of you, and then the rest of the game, you're slowly building up, you know, you're the zombies and murderers and whatever, like the early enemies, you have to, at the start of the game, you're dancing back and forth, you're sliding, which is really cool. Love sliding in the game. Who doesn't just slide backwards the whole game? Gotta do it. But then after you start getting your upgrades, you start feeling strong again, you're like, out of my way, I'm amazing. And you're just like smacking everything. And you're, you know, you get that feel that you're just becoming more powerful again. Like, it's a game that actually delivers a power fantasy if you feel like that's what you want to play. If you feel like you want to really lean your way through the game, you can do that as well, because most enemies can be beaten through, like, skilled play.
It's also broken as hell in the most fun possible way.
Yeah, I thought so.
Because, like we said, you can skip all the broken stuff. You can, because I've done it. I've played this game super lean. I've played this game super broken. And nothing will ever change the ability for Alucard to fly 15 miles backwards if he gets hit for 1 point of damage.
Yeah, my favorite thing about it is, like, there's little things like items like Joseph's cloak, which you can change to any color value the PlayStation can produce, inside and outside. Why? Just because.
Love it.
There's also stuff like the familiars, which, you know, you got your bat, which is cool and all that. And it's like, my favorite thing is when you're a bat and you turn into, well, you don't really turn into a bat. You turn into an owl, right?
No, you turn into a bat.
You look like an owl.
Okay. Oh, the cool thing about that, though, is the bat wings are the same color as your cloak wings.
Yeah, exactly. So if you use the Joseph's cloak, you can change your bat into any kind of color. And so if you've got the bat familiar, it will, like, fall in love with you and, like, follow you around. And if you level up the bat familiar, like, little baby bats will come out, like, and follow it around, I think. And,
oh, it's like options in
And then there's the sword familiar, which is the coolest thing in the world. It's a sword that floats around behind you and kills stuff.
And it's an enemy in the game, too, that you fight.
Oh, yeah. And then, if you level it up to the maximum level, right, it will be a weapon you can hold in the game and use, and it's gigantic.
I love that, like, little subtle thing.
It's
that,
so,
like,
cool.
That is,
there's a whole scale of weapons, too, right? Like, you know, you've got your little fast weapons, you've got your larger slow weapons. Like, it does, it's not just numbers. You have, like, a pretty substantial set of things that Alucard hits with, as opposed to just having a whip or something.
Also, right. The sequels drive me nuts on this. So, Aria of Sorrow, a game that follows in this vein, it adds on, you got the little fast weapons, then you got the longer, slower weapons. Aria of Sorrow adds some great big sweeping weapons. They go up and down. This game doesn't have it, and I always think it does, and it drives me nuts when I keep looking for them. And I just like to bring that up because I've played this game 18 squintillion times, and I always keep looking for the big up and down sword, but it's not in this game.
So, I actually like the balance in the weapons. It's pretty good, because you often do actually have to, like, duck and swing, and you can do some weird stuff with the way, some weapons have, like, attack downwards in air, and other ones don't.
Oh, yeah!
Like, there's some semblance of, like, trying to balance out at least, like, the early kit, which I like. Like, you know,
this game's got
doesn't
so
break
many
immediately.
Great little things. I love it. I could talk about
it's a game that proves that, I wouldn't say it's greater than the sum of its great little parts. But it is exactly as good as, like, a billion great little things, which is what it is. It's like, it doesn't, like, as a Castlevania game, it's okay. As a Metro game,
it's still freaking annoying.
But as a Egovania, right, or something, which I think is a better thing to call it, like, it's, you know, it is really, really good. And I don't know whether, I know there were, like, more polished games that, you know, Metroidvanias that were put out by Konami, by this particular team, but I don't know whether they ever really got the fun of it down with this game.
I think the brokenness is super important. Right? It's thrilling, you know, to be able to feel like you've outsmarted the developer. That's something that always makes you feel great when you're like, haha, I bet they didn't think of this, but of course they did, because they put it in the game, basically.
Ah, damn, that accidental code strikes again.
But the odd thing is that it's not broken in the way that Super Metroid is broken, right? Super Metroid is broken in that there's stuff you can do in the game that will allow you to skip parts of the game. That doesn't really happen in this one. I mean, it is possible, but it's not like...
Well, it's like I said, the castle in this game is super open compared to, like, most other... Because, like, you really only have a couple of places you can fly, and it's really almost just, like, get to an upgrade, and then you go backwards and you keep exploring the castle.
Yeah, you get a life max up or a magic max up or something.
Yeah, there's just a couple of things that you... There's, like, a few traversal powers and stuff, and that's how it kind of blocks you from going...
Oh, this game has a spike armor? Where you get to walk along the spikes, you crunch, crunch, crunch.
And they all go under. Room. Like, it's got some other cool details. Like, if you're half vampire, for some reason you can't touch water. I don't remember that part of the vampire myth, but I'm sure it's there somewhere.
It is. That's how they kill Dracula. They trap him by a river because he can't cross running water.
Oh, running water. Right. That's right. Yeah, that's true.
It's fine until you throw a glass of water and it's like, oh no, it's moving.
I always wonder if that's related to the same, like, primal instinct that drives my cat to exclusively drink from the faucet.
Cats and vampires are often
that is
known.
True. The animals like do not like still water. Their brains are hardwired to tell them that it's probably tepid and
that's probably full of, like, stuff that will make me puke. And even though I'll eat that puke, I still don't think it's good.
Yeah. So actually there might be a connection there.
Yeah, it's. I think that might be. And stuff like, and, you know, like silver being like it kills werewolves, but, like, you know, silver, you can drop like a silver coin into like a bucket of milk and it will disinfect it partially and stuff like that. Anyway, there's a lot of weird stuff in this game. We got to rank it.
You want to talk about the upside down castle?
Go to a confession.
You already talked about the upside down castle and no one said anything more than it's just this cool little thing the game does.
All kinds of stuff. You can sit down in a confessional booth and sometimes you get health items and sometimes you get stabbed.
Oh, this game keeps track of time. It uses the PlayStation clock because you can see the clock tower on the stairs by Dracula's place.
Right.
And I'm almost certain the game keeps track of what the clock is. I keep forgetting to double check it because
I think it does. I think you're right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it does. There's a lot of things in this game. Like I said, it makes on paper all the worst decisions, right? Like, they put so much effort into things that do not matter, but for some reason it all comes together and it works.
I'd sort of say, like, you've got this sort of aspect where a lot of PlayStation games, you know, obviously, and a lot of games at the time, you know, they're like, so we put tons and tons of effort into making a 3D model. That's what we've done. We've got a 3D model here.
Yeah.
This game's like, forget 3D. Forget everything. It's got some cool 3D, like the books and stuff that come out. I love that.
Yeah,
like,
and the coffin where you save. That's
yeah,
cool.
Oh, yeah. Wireframes. It's got restraint exactly where it needs it. But
one last little moment I love when you go into the fake save point. And it's all black and white in that whole room. You're like, huh, what the hell is this? But it's a save point. I'm going to try it out. And then it's a boss fight.
Nightmare.
Oh, God, I love this game. It's so good. I'm going to play it again.
Like, they just, like, instead of using the power of CDs to show you graphics. It just keeps throwing new things and like weird stuff at you. Like that's what they spent the development time on.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite, I think my favorite thing about it is I think it's the imagination behind the design of the castle, which is way different than the rest of the Castlevania games, where it's like in every Castlevania game, you can go down into the basement and it's full of water. It's like a crawl space and it's got like, you know, creatures from the Black Lagoon who jump up and shoot water jets that's at you cool, and stuff though. Like that. In this game, you can go beneath that. And you go beneath that, and it's like an even deeper, darker cave. And you go even further down, and it's like hell. And you go even further down, and it's like an inverted ziggurat or something that's been buried under Transylvania for some reason.
This game has – it almost works in a real space. I mean, you know, it's a magic vampire castle.
Right, yeah.
But it almost feels like a real space. So you can kind of have this feeling, okay, the library is over here. The clock tower is kind of what it feels like it is. And then it all falls apart when you get to things like what Xerxes was talking about, like the goddamn ziggurat in the basement.
It's the coolest
thing. I mean,
you can say
that, but I know Bob had previously like nodded to there is a lot of just space there as well. It doesn't really fit into anything like the.
I feel like they could have cut a lot without hurting anything. Yeah,
it helps. They could have feeling though.
It works. Like so later, Metroidvanias or Egovanias. Like for example, Harmony of Dissonance involved like the two different dimensions of the castle, where you can be in like the castle of this dimension, then you can go to the other dimension, and the castles are kind of like it's kind of Goonies too. Actually, there's like two different planes of. Metroidvania, sort of. But it doesn't work as well as this one because this one is all in the same plane and everything about the inverted castle works because you know what you kind of, you start to expect it because it's literally the inverse of the other castle.
That's
and
really
so you
cool,
think you know where it's
down,
going. And
it
so
works.
You go to the very top of the inverted castle and you think, okay, so what's this going to be? And of course you go down instead of hell, you're in some kind of weird ice world.
Yeah.
And it all makes perfect sense in the stupidest,
have, like,
most fun possible way.
Upside down chandeliers where the room before had a chandelier in it.
Yeah, and like, you know, just everything about it is bonkers and crazy and great. So where do we want to put it? Where do we want to?
I'm
gonna. You guys,
I'm not even
that.
Gonna say because no one's gonna agree with me.
We can no, disagree probably. With you in a fun way,
but. While you're plotting that out, we didn't even kind of like say how cool a lot of the monsters are in this. Like, really freaking cool.
There's
like,
very got, few palette swaps.
Yeah, like you've got like I remember them because I like see them outside, like at random outside the castle. They're like skeletons with like rifles and like purple trench coats or something. Yeah, and they're just.
Oh
like,
yeah, they established that the castle, Dracula's castle, like warps time and space itself, and so like it will
this
have
game is like
things that
1600s so.
Yeah, okay. It takes place in the 1600s, but there'll be, like, stuff you can find in it where it's like, oh, that's, like, a modern, you know, like, weapon. Because it doesn't follow the rules.
I have an idea, and I know I'm going to get yelled at.
We're not going to get yelled at. We are going to taunt you.
Yeah,
firmly disagree.
It should go above 150.
All right, well, we can agree with that.
Okay.
Why is that? Margin of...
Just, well... I definitely think it deserves to be a blub. It should go above Spelunky HD for certain.
Every time, let's just stick it to Spelunky. Everyone get Spelunky.
I can and I will.
You know, we do sometimes have people who make indie games and stuff on the show. At some point, it's just going to be like, stop making fun of that game.
Okay, you can and you will and you did and we won't. So, But I agree that like putting it super duper high is kind of crazy because in a lot of ways the sequels hear me out and I've got the slinky ready. Don't think I don't.
I'll
be down here forever. Hear me out. The reason why is because okay, so this is the first of its kind for Castlevania and for Konami. They did a lot of subsequent games with basically the same people working on it, and they couldn't do this again because they weren't really sure how they did it. It was kind of an accident.
I'm not going to knock it down for being
In some ways that makes it more special, but in other ways it makes it kind of like...
But I mean, Pokemon Red and Blue, for example, was by and large a weird accident. And some guy was like, I want to make a sweet creature collecting game.
I mean,
I have an idea.
The Pokemon phenomenon could not...
I think that's crazy.
No, Pokemon, the phenomenon was... It could not be planned. Nobody knew that was going to blow up. But that game, especially the original game... was very, very carefully set out. Like, that's way more thought went in. Are you kidding me? Way more thought went into that Game Boy Kids RPG than went into this game. What went into this game was not thought. It was just, this is cool. Let's do it. Nobody cares. And it was
I think they just kept putting ideas in and it kept working. And that's
yes. Cool. It's so can I put this in the top 25 at least?
So Super Ooh. Castlevania 4 is currently the highest ranked Castlevania. And like I said, this game really isn't a Castlevania, but
if you take the, I've been actually glancing at the two, I'm going to say where the two Metroids currently are, so everyone gets kind of a good idea of where Metroids are. Super Metroid is at 17, and the original Metroid is currently at 50. And that's the, these are the two games that I
Super
guess.
Super Castlevania 4 is 74.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And better I do think ultimately it's got Metroid. More going for it than Super Castlevania 4, which
I,
may
I
or may not
I would say
be.
Less going for it than the original Metroid. And the main reason why is like the original Metroid had to do it first.
And the original Metroid, of course, it did it first. Yes,
not just did it Metroid. First, but did it first and did it like in a way that was like very much like there weren't like okay, so basing creating an adventure out of Castlevania is one thing. Creating Metroid out of basically nothing is a totally different thing. Like there weren't like a ton of even platformers, like just platformers. There weren't that many at the time.
Yeah.
Like the idea of creating Metroid out of, you've got Super Mario Bros., you got Pac-Land, you got Zelda. It's insane.
Lack of quality of life helped, though. Because,
yeah, and, but 1986.
No, like, I'm just saying. I'm just.
So it's like.
Playing the original Metroid these days is really hard.
It's no, don't
it's not hot
don't
if you're Xerxes. Get, everybody should memorize
it. It's no, you don't have to memorize it. It's just like you just got to think. It's
I played
totally
it.
There for
I was
you.
Like, I'm stuck like eight times.
You're a big dumb dumb.
I never got stuck in this
fine.
Game like ever. It's got this great auto map. It's got this teleport. So good.
Yeah.
55 is Final Fantasy VII. Which is contemporary to
okay,
this
but
one.
The thing about this game, the downside as a Metroid-ish game is that there's not a lot of times where you're discovering something that's like hidden in the room, right? Where it's like, yeah. There's a hint in the room that you can do this and you do it and you're like, oh my God, I never noticed that before. It's not that kind of game. It's like what you can do is pretty much clear as soon as
but
you
I,
go
I think
in
that's
there.
An advantage because of how large the game is. I think if it hid too much, you would
it
just never
be.
Find
but
it.
But the thing about any Metroid, any of the best Metroid games is like, there's stuff that you'll figure out organically, but you figure it out and you're like, oh, I should check the rooms I've already been to and see whether I can do. And that adds
like,
you don't
want to check the rooms in this. It would take like a year.
No, but you don't have to because there's nothing else there.
Yeah, but that's why, right? Yeah.
No, that's
the mix and match fun of this game is kind of in the items and assembling like your kit and kind of going, whoa, I can do this now or I can do that or that does that, as you said. Like, you know, it's not. It's almost internal in this game. Like, a lot of the stuff is sort of to the character rather than to the environment. Which
what
is-
about what about below Papers, Please, above Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? We should put it at the new number 53.
I'm okay with that.
As if this I know Bob's okay with that. Bob's like, you put this game under whatever. Like,
I know you guys really like Papers, Please. I think it's a neat game. What do you think, Cal?
Because
I don't think I'm going to talk Xerxes and putting it above Metroid.
Well, I mean, you're asking me to pick between, like,
agree on that.
The extreme art game. Like, it's such a good art game, isn't it?
And like I said, the castle space is so good
in
this game.
This is a horror-themed game. Metroid is actually kind of scary.
Metroid is a much scarier game, but that's because also
this
you
is like
can play a whole bunch of it. When
anime, super hard.
It's anime scary. It's not scary at all. If it was manga scary, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's too much for me.
I mean, I think it's pretty fair.
Can we put this below Cave Story, though? Real talk.
Yeah, I think what? You can. I think you can. I think Cave Story has a lot more inventiveness to it. What this game is it's like, it's just a person
Cave
who really
Story
loves...
Cave Story revitalized, like, pretty much everything.
Well, that's... Right I just wanted to say, because... Man, if I could get away with it, I'd put this game at one, so...
Yeah.
You're nuts, my friend. Man. You are crazy. This is a great game, but it's not like it's kind of a trash game. It's hard to explain.
But it's
just like
fun as hell.
It is very
that
fun.
That is the main thing that games have to be is fun.
Yes.
Although we are also currently leveraging at around 50, which is pretty freaking high.
No, that's not fair. You know what? I can take Papers, Please.
All right, then. That's where it goes. Right below Papers, Please. Right above whatever I said it was above.
Mike Tyson's
Punch-Out. That's where it goes. Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
53.
Yeah, you know, humanity ill needs a savior such as you, but thank goodness we got it.
Well, thank you, Xerxes. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I wasn't saying to you. I was saying to Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
I'm gonna claim that one.
Okay, that's fine.
Die, monster. You don't belong in this world. It was not by my hand that I'm once again given flesh.
It was by Dark Priest Shaft. Can you dig it? That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNRX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.